Hello and welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And today we're going to be talking about cycles of change. Rhythms. What rhythms are we in? What cycles are we in? Do things look good? Are we moving into better cycles, better rhythms? Or have we had the best for a while? let's hope for the best. And to help us understand what's going on cycle-wise, we have a master of cycles in David Katzmeier. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi, Peter. Glad to be here.
Now, you have an organization called Calarhythms.
That's correct. Calarhythms, K-A-L-A, Rhythms, comes from the Sanskrit term kal, or K-A-L-A. Kala is Sanskrit for time, relative to the relative time in which we live, and Calarhythms is the study of how the cycles of time affect us as we move as a nation or as we move as a global economy and a global consciousness.
All right. Now, the way that you fathom these rhythms, how we derive rhythms, can be many ways. We can look at just life and try to figure out how it's been moving and predict what that means. That's one way of doing it. There are other ways, and you have a unique way that you understand these rhythms.
It is a unique view, but it's looking at what everyone else has seen and thinking what no one else has thought. It's a unique view that's built on commonly known elements, which is that history repeats itself, which is that all things move in a cyclical pattern, whether it's the elements of an atom or whether it is planets around the sun and the galaxies in the heavens and everything in between. There's a revolving tendency of the universe that is not only in the physical things that we can find, but in the affairs of humankind as well.
Well, we can understand that through chaos theory. And chaos theory actually says there's no such thing as chaos, right?
Yes. When James Gleick wrote that book, he said that chaos and order are actually two different parts of the same system. So we tend to see things in a linear perspective, which may make different parts of change in a cycle seem to be mutually exclusive, whereas one is replacing the other one, and if it were not for one, the other could exist. Well, but in fact, it matters at what time it is. That depends on whether you're going through a transitional period that we can see as chaos, or whether you're going through one of the phases of the cycle that follow before and thereafter.
So chaos is part of a pattern, and the only limitation is that we're too close to it in the details to see the bigger picture of how chaos fits into the pattern.
We are too close to it because on the larger scale of time, we're like a fly on the Mona Lisa that does not see it until it flies away and looks back at the beautiful canvas. And chaos, whether we're experiencing chaos, it actually, almost a sense of humor is at play here. Chaos comes when it is due. It comes in regular patterns. But because there is more than one cycle at play and a confluence of rhythms, one cycle can be producing chaos at regular intervals while another aspect of our lives is in a different phase, and it will go into chaos at different intervals to us. Looking at it from a linear point of view, these things may appear to come randomly. They may be elements of chance. Well, the elements of chance do exist, but so do the layers of rhythmic influence.
Right, and then there are layers within chaos itself.
Indeed, it's a fractal relationship all around.
Right. And so, all right, now we understand that there are these patterns that exist, and we move through them. It feels like we're in the middle of chaos, although in some ways things look like we might be getting a handle on them. Certainly we've been through chaos for a long time, and that's just an opinion, of course. I also believe that everything is correct in its nature and timing in the universe, and certainly on this planet, and even in our politics. And I do believe that the 8 years of the Bush era were very valuable in moving us forward to realizing that we need to make sense out of chaos, because I think we were all so disturbed during that time that we are taking more responsibility or wanting to be more responsible for these rhythms.
I agree that we're going through a period of chaos now, which is a transition into an era that's going to last throughout the remainder of this century and well into the next throughout most of it. And the chaos that we're going through now brings us up to the arena of world cycles. What's happening right now is that there are what I call megarhythms as part of the collarhythm theory. And the megarhythms of the eras are cycles that last hundreds of years long, affecting us on the physical level in industry and production and wealth, on the emotional level, which affects us in the arts and in religion and how we see things in terms of optimism or pessimism, and on an intellectual level, on how we develop our educational systems, our philosophies, and our ideas. Each of these three cycles and the megarhythms, the confluence of layered rhythms in our lives, will go through different stages of development, and each one of them will hit a period of chaos, as we mentioned. And lo and behold, there is a cycle of the megarhythms that is in a period of transition and chaos right now.
All right, now you mentioned three different kinds of rhythms, and they're not all in confluence, right?
That's correct. They're in confluence on the fact that they're all putting effect on the same things, the same nations, the same world community, but they're not in phase. You're absolutely right. They're not in the same phase. You see, each of those three cycles has a different duration to go through its cyclical pattern. And mathematically, what happens over time is that you can have one that is high or one while one is low, and you can have cycles in conflict, or you can have a multitude of them high. A brief example. You mentioned looking back that we're coming out of 8 years of the Bush administration, and if you look back longer before that, we're coming out of a century and a half or more of the Industrial Revolution, the machine age, the military-industrial complex. Because of where cycles were, that is pretty much the past that we're living. You know, a son is not going to follow in his father's footsteps. A person isn't going to work for a factory for 40 years and then get a gold watch when they retire. What's happening is we're moving into a new era with more feminine energy, more artistic expression. Cycles in conflict during the machine age was the fact that the world physical cycle was high as we built new and more powerful machines and new forms of weaponry and warfare. And the Industrial Revolution occurred while at the same time the emotional cycle of the world was low, while the intellectual cycle of the world was low, but the physical cycle was high. Conclusion: we outbuilt our own sense. We poisoned the rivers, the oceans, and the air. We hunted species to extinction. But at the same time, we built many wonderful things and found cures to diseases and improved life. So it was cycles in conflict. What we're going through now, the physical cycle has already crossed down low in our lifetimes. It began in the end of the 1970s and throughout the 1980s. We went through a downward transition, ending the physical high, ending the machine age. The Great Wall came down in Berlin. The Shah of Iran abdicated. You had the events of Tiananmen Square, and you had old castles crumbling as the machine age was giving away to what? That is being formed now. Because jumping from the physical cycle that gave us the machine age, let's look at the emotional cycle that has been rising all throughout the 20th century, rising to the point where it crosses the midsection halfway between its low and its high, giving us a period of transition and crisis. It's in the middle that you have a shakeup. And right now, the world is having a bad day, but the fortune of a bad day is this bad day in the world that's giving us a great reaction and emotional turmoil over an intellectual crisis of finances and banking collapses, is that this is the birth pangs to a new era, and the new era is the century into which we're going.
Birth pangs into a new era that arrives when?
It is already arriving by virtue of the fact that we're going through the crisis. You know, sometimes you have to shake up the old order in order to go into the new. And without such things, you know, to give you an example, the last time that the emotional cycle went through a transitional crisis, as it is doing now, as it went through the crossover, as it does twice within a 432-year period, we had the downward crossover of the emotional cycle back during the French Revolution. That's when the old order was ending, the aristocracy and a bit of oppression and arrogance that prevailed through some of the monarchies and some of the reigns of Europe just came to an end when it was time. And what replaced it was the machine age with the rising physical cycle. Well, that emotional cycle that went down and bottomed out during the heart of the Victorian era is rising up, crossing through, and going up into a high that is going to give us a more artistic time, a more expressive time, and a more compassionate time, you know. So it's not that you're going to have industrial giants go over to other countries and, well, let's use the word rape these lands for their natural resources while having no regard for the cultures that live upon it, because they're other, so let's get them out of the way and get to that iron ore, let's get to that gold, let's get to that oil, and everything like that. And please understand, there were so many benefits of the machine age that were wonderful to us, but balance comes in time, a homeostasis of change, an undulation between yin and yang, and where we're going now to balance this out is to clean up the machine age and to move into the compassionate era. But it takes a crisis to get there. And so when you see those stock prices falling and you see big companies that have been around like inveterate institutions throughout the ages seem to be folding, despair not, because it is going to be replaced by something different and in some ways something better.
Smarter. I'm looking at a chart that I downloaded from your website, the calorhythms.com website. And what I see, you know, you do have these cycles in different sine waves that move through time. And there are three different, as we said, there are three different cycles. So as you have a chart of the progression of years and centuries, you also show the sine wave of these different three phases, three cycles. And I see from the year 2000 to 2001, there are two lines, two sine waves that are both rising to together.
Yep.
They're in phase, and it's they're colored in so you know which is which. Mm-hmm. The red and the green.
Yes.
And they go through this whole century going up.
Yes.
And I guess we're talking about that. Then there's another cycle here, the blue line, that peaked in 1900. And
yep.
That's the physical. Everything else was low, right? The blue line is physical.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what you're talking about. The industrial age was very high, but we were very stupid.
Yes. That's one way of putting it, and I would put it that way, yes.
Okay. So we took the last century having bottomed out, going back up, and now we're heading into a cycle in this century of being very smart, both emotionally and intellectually.
Yes, and I invite everybody to go online to see the chart to which you refer at kalarhythms.com. That's K-A-L-A rhythms.com, where you can see that we can plot the tendencies of change in the world, or for the United States, in sine waves that show the energy levels of these things, that show what phase we're in, because they go through four quarters of development each cycle and seasons of change. And when we cross over in the predictable periods of chaos, go back into history and see the documentation, how every time we went through a period of chaos before, you could see that there were world change and world crisis. And it gives you a better understanding for what's happening now. And to what you referred as the blue line for the physical cycles going down, both the emotional cycle in the world, 432 years long, and the intellectual cycle of the world, 528 years long, have come into a mathematical synchronicity, whereas they are both going up into an upward crossover simultaneously. We are experiencing two cycles in the world going through chaos at the same time, a period lasting from 2000 until 2012. And I'll point out that the attacks on New York and Washington in 2001 fall within that period. It is an emotional crisis. Emotion influences religious beliefs. The intellectual cycle influences commerce and banking. I'll point out that AIG and housing failures and subprime mortgage failures and so forth, and the need for a stimulus package that's all going now, is all part of an intellectual crisis, not only here, but around the world. The collapse of the government in Iceland and the replacement of the new and countries all over. This is a worldwide crisis that we're going through, and we're moving more into a global economy. But I reiterate, this is the birth pangs of a new era. You have to have shakeup. And I'm very optimistic as to the times that will be seen by our children and their children and so forth because of the cycles.
Well, I see, you know, on the planet, you have both the emotional and intellectual in phase moving up, and you have the physical moving down.
Yes.
Now, what does that refer to?
Now, what is physical behavior? Physical behavior influences what we build, our military readiness, the durable goods, the machine age, and so forth. And it also affects behavior in terms of nationalism. Fences go up. Boundaries and territories are guarded and enforced during a physical high. But as the cycle goes down into a low, we become less territorial. We become less nationalistic. So when you have a changing world where the physical cycle becomes low, while the intellectual cycle becomes high, you have a free exchange of ideas across open boundaries. A good example of this was demonstrated in the well-written book, The World is Flat, showing that we're not nationalistic economies trading between nations, but that goods are produced here, shipped over there, put into a company here that sells over and so forth. It's an international community, and we're becoming more so.
All right. Now we were talking about international. This is the world at large.
Yeah.
What about our own country in relationship to that larger picture?
The United States will continue to be a world power, if I may give a forecast, but it is not going to be the world power. We have many, many strengths in the United States, and if I may add an editorial, we are a fantastic nation because of our many strengths, because of our many peoples, and because of a rich history that's had both wonders and problems. However, one of our main characteristics is that we excel with a physical strength, you know, our armies and our production and our economy and our dollar and everything like that. But what's happening now, the revolving spotlight of time means that every dog has its day. Sometimes the strong will lead, sometimes the spirited will lead, and sometimes the smart will lead. As we move out of what's been the way for the past century and a half and more, and into where we're going, we're going to find that the strong are not the final voice. They're not the only voice. Now the smart are going to lead. Yes, we are smart, but we're not the only smart ones out there. The Foundation for the Study of Cycles has found that over the long term of history, there has been a shift of power between East and West in a cycle of about 500 years. According to my colorhythm theory, that cycle is 528 years long, the length of the world intellectual cycle. Currently, China is rising again, with the intellectual rise of the 528-year cycle, as it has always done, as far as our history can go back. And you're going to see power shifts, to use a word from Alvin Toffler, power shifts going over to China, and China is going to become a world power. Well, everybody knows that. That's not news. But when you understand Colorism theory, you understand why is this happening now, how is it developing, what supports the change that we see in our history, and what can we expect from the direction in which we're headed?
That's the big question of what can we expect. We're looking at a huge country, and they might get themselves into trouble also.
Yeah, they're going to have problems, and they're going to have growth problems along the way, as every nation does, and they're going to have great achievements, as every time does. And by the time that the problems seem to be maxing out, it'll be the end of that era, you know, in the 23rd century, 23rd century, going down into a period of reform then, when the problems that will result will then go through a period of reform, which is a period of any cycle.
Okay.
It all follows the patterns. The dance of Shiva manifests in the fractal relationship in the affairs of humankind. And the dance goes on.
So we're looking at really long-term cycles here, not short-term.
We're looking at both, in a way. The world arena is moving through the long-term eras that modify what age we're in. But in addition to what age we're in, there are smaller moving cycles within each of the nations. In addition to these cycles affecting the world on terms of hundreds of years for durations of each cycle, nations moving through that have cycles lasting only tens of years inside of it. A physical, emotional, and intellectual triad of cycles can be found in the United States, lasting 28 years, 36 years, and 44 years long for each of the three cycles, physical, emotional, and intellectual. And these cycles can also be found in every other nation. The way to look at the confluence, to use that word again, is the cycles within nations moving as they all collectively, like a herd of countries, are going through the slower moving civilizations of world change, is that it's like ripples on rising and falling tides. Ripples are our national rhythms, and the tides are the global rhythms of greater duration.
All right. Now, we're mostly concerned about our ripples here. And I'm looking at a chart from 2010 to 2020 where everything is heading down the whole time.
Yes. We're looking at, we've jumped from the world arena and gone down to the smaller moving cycles of the United States of America. These cycles lasting some tens of years. And what you will see is we have had some high aspects, cycles that were high, giving us strength during this world-changing time. But yes, you're going to see our own 28-year physical cycle cross down in 2013, and I'm predicting a brief industrial recession for the country at that time. The intellectual cycle will still be high until 2017, when it crosses downward and enters a low. We'll have a three-way low in the country on our smaller moving rhythms. And in 2020, with the physical and emotional cycle near the bottom, I'm looking for a brief recession at that time.
Oh, boy. So we're heading into rougher and rougher waters for this country.
Well, there's another way of looking at it. Our physical cycle is still high right now and will remain high during the remainder of our world transition, and our world transition lasts until 2012. And so we will come out of our world crisis before all of our cycles in this country go low. So we will not have the double whammy. But, you know, there's another way of looking at it, too. All phases of the cycle are needed. When a cycle goes low, it immediately enters into a period of reform where you clean up what was being done before. And if you look at it in terms of economics, you can make as much money when a cycle is low as when it's high, as long as you know the direction. It's the movement that you can turn into prosperity, provided you know the direction of the movement.
So now we have cycles of emotions.
Yes.
And emotions are pretty low this whole next decade.
The emotions are going. We are currently going through a downward cycle, a downward crossover of the 36-year emotional cycle in the United States. And that period of crisis lasts for 1 year, a natural year, a tropical year, from March 21, 2009 until March 21, 2010. We are in a downward emotional crisis. And so I want to predict on your show that what you're going to see is some emotional and moral outrage over one issue or another. It could pop up all of a sudden, and it's going to be felt nationwide. To give you an example of this, the last time that we had a crossover of the emotional cycle was back in 1991, when it was crossing up to bring us an emotional high. In 1991, we had the Rodney King beating, and that was felt nationwide. It was an emotional reaction over a moral indignity that occurred. Last time before that, during 1973, it crossed over simultaneously with the intellectual cycle, and we had the Watergate affair. Brought down a president over moral indignation and emotional reaction. Time before that, the emotional cycle crossed up in the United States in 1955, and Rosa Parks was refused a seat on a bus in Birmingham, Alabama. That spawned the public transportation strikes throughout Alabama, crippling the Red Arrow Line, because more than 40% of its business were to black transporters, and so they said, "Well, you don't like us, we don't like you." And they said, "Well, we like dollars. What can we do?" But that began the civil rights movement, because everywhere across the nation, people were identifying with it, and they were saying, "Well, let's do what's right." You see, the thinking and the physically based behavior is a win-lose mentality. Emotionally based behavior is a right and wrong mentality. And intellectually based behavior is a correct versus incorrect mentality.
Oh, that's I like that interpretation, to be able to read these cycles to understand how we'll be feeling.
Yeah.
And if so obviously at some point during this next year we're going to see something that will be
There's
wrong.
Going to be a reaction to something, probably.
Something wrong.
Yeah.
And we'll be needing to right the wrong somehow.
Yeah.
But then this is a cycle that keeps heading down. There are some cycles you go through chaos and then it goes up.
Yes.
So what's the difference between a cycle that you're in chaos and then it goes up versus a cycle you're in chaos and then it goes down?
The difference is whether it's the end of a high era where castles begin to crumble, or if it is coming out of a low era and the birth pangs to a new beginning.
So we're crumbling.
We're crumbling. We've been in a high. There's led to a lot of speculation. The emotional cycle peaked in 2000, around the time where we had the dot-com bubble burst, because there was over-speculation in the market right at the same time that the physical cycle crossed up and went into chaos in 1999, 2000, and that gave us the dot-com bubble burst. Emotional high, while one of the other cycles was in a crossover period, meant that we were over-speculating, and somebody said, "Well, now it's time for reality." And that somebody was time. It was the Mahakala.
Now, David, we're about to run out of time.
Okay.
And I wanted the audience to know how to find out more.
Okay, thank you. To find out more, go to my site at kalarhythms.com, kalarhythms.com. Also, find out more about the Foundation for the Study of Cycles. This is not from the Foundation, but I work for them. I'm editor of Cycles Magazine. Foundation for the Study of Cycles you can find at cycles.cc, cycles.cc.
All right, and this is so important for us to have knowledge. This is knowledge to allow us to manage the cycles, manage change in our lives, and understand why it's happening. So, David Katzmeyer, thank you so much for being a guest today. This
thank
has
you,
been
Peter.
Very helpful. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew. I can be reached at heartriver.org. And thank you so much for listening today.